Praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and it's pretty cold outside. I know it's supposed to get down to, a wind chill of 39 below tonight, but thank the Lord, it's nice and warm in here, so praise the Lord for that, and like I said, it's wonderful to be here. We're going to sing some choruses, going to sing some songs, and worship the Lord for a while, and then after that, Shirley will give us a Bible study. But before we do anything, of course, we need to pray. It's always so important, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to sing thy praises. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst abide in our hearts tonight. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst fill our very souls. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst move upon us with thy Spirit, with thy Holy Ghost. We ask that thy presence would be here tonight, and we ask that thou wouldst inhabit the praises of thy people. We pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 143. We have come into this house. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. Forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him.
So forget about yourself.
worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know that the word worship means to give your heart, and that's what we're doing here tonight. That's what we do when we worship the Lord. We give Him our heart. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 22, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no other name like that name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 5, Something Beautiful? Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. But he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he did make something beautiful of our lives. Praise the Lord. We were such a mess without him. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 25. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's sing number 98, Because He Lives. Me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know today. Glory to God. And you know, because he rose victoriously from that grave, we have nothing to be afraid of. All fear can be gone from our lives. Praise the Lord. He makes this life worth living. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take up the collection now, and then we'll sing one more song, and after that, we'll let Shirley get started with her study. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom and how these funds should be used to further thy kingdom. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who were unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to sing one more before Shirley gets started. And, you know, we sing this one a lot, but it's such a good one to sing, so let's just go for it again. Number 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Strangely dim in light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful ways, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What a wonderful thing it is when the things of this earth go dim. Just everything else fades into the background and you focus on Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to let Shirley get started.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's hard to pinch this open. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I so enjoy that. Worship to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There's just nothing to take its place. You know, it is so true. Our troubles disappear when we're in God's presence. And it is true that things that mattered before suddenly just fade to oblivion. You know, it just doesn't matter anymore. And wow, what a wonderful thing we get to be partakers into that realm, you know, that we can't see. We can't see it yet. And I mean, sometimes I just long to see it. But, you know, yet it's there. And the Lord comes down and He helps us. And wow, what a difference that makes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It's been good. The Lord's been good today. And I just, you know, I got a phone call from Brother Tim. And I think some of us had been praying for his dad, who had cancer in the vocal cords, and praise the Lord, it's gone. So God has helped that man, and he just thanked us for our prayers, and I'm just so glad we could be a partaker of that, you know, just a partaker in that, and I don't know, we've been praying for him, that the God would save him. He's a Roman Catholic and lovely person, but you know, he needs a living God to be alive in his heart, in his life, and to really change him, and we believe that can happen. We know God can do that. You know, there's nothing too hard for our God, and so I'm just very thankful for that. That was just a wonderful report. to hear today, and thank God for that. Thank God that he's with us. And I was thinking earlier, I know Sam was talking about the weather and all, and I was thinking, wow, if any of you got my letter, and I was saying how nice it was. It was like 40 degrees. Well, listen, that was in December. And now it is January, and oh, has it changed. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, God is with us. And here, we're just us couple here tonight, but God is here. God is in our midst, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to have the Lord. We've set aside this time to praise him, to worship him, to get our hearts readjusted and to focus on him and to come into his presence, to come into that place where he is, you know, and to dwell in his word and, oh, wow, to let the Lord change us. And praise the Lord, he's here tonight to meet our needs, oh, my, to give us what we have need of. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. Did anybody hear anything specifically from Diane today? Or? Okay, well, I had talked with her yesterday and prayed with her. And we're praying for Diane, her health for one thing, but also her dad and Barb's dad. Lord knows, only knows, he's hardly eating at all. And in some pain, he doesn't want to go into physical therapy and have to be in a rest home for, you know, who knows how long. And he's fighting it. He's fighting it really hard. And it's very, very hard to see. He needs the Lord. He's never, to my knowledge, ever given his life to the Lord. And you know, I prayed with Diane. Well, yes, and Jane said, besides, he claims to be agnostic. So, you know, that's not good. That's not a good way to die, you know. And we're all going to face the judgment seat of Christ at one point. But, you know, we need to bring him before God right now. And I know, Diane really had a cold and just so many other obstacles. Her furnace needed repair and the part couldn't get there till Friday, I think. And, you know, they kind of temporarily did something, so it's I think going at the moment, but oh my, you know, here it is, you know, supposed to be like 40 below zero tonight with wind chill, and oh my, we need the Lord, but he's with us. Amen. He's with us. So let's pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we can come before you, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, we know there's no friend like you, Lord. There's no other God and no one else we could ever turn to, Lord, in our needs and in our despair. And oh God, in our moments, Lord. God, I just pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you would move tonight. That your spirit would touch us afresh, God, that you let that, oh Lord, that presence flow down upon us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that healing balm from Gilead, Lord, the things that... Oh, Lord, these folks have need of, Lord. You know all the details, those online, and, oh, God, those that will listen to this at some point. I pray, oh, God, that your spirit, your presence would flow, Lord, that, oh, Lord, you would make a difference in lives. God, that you change people here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that you change people, Lord, and help us all to get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, God, that we might be on your right hand and hear you say, well done, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be good and faithful servants, Lord, and God, I pray that you talk to us here tonight, Lord, that you bind, oh Lord, every unclean spirit, everything that would distract and try to hinder, Lord, and pray, oh God, that you draw us nigh to you, oh Lord, that you use this message. God, that you speak to our hearts, oh God, oh Lord, without you we could do nothing. Oh God, I'm completely dependent upon thee, Lord. Ask, oh Lord, that you'd be here, Lord. And God, I pray for Diane. You continue to touch her, move in her life, God, heal her body, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray for her dad, Lord, Barb's dad too, Lord, that she would touch that man, Lord. She'd move in his life, God, that you talk to his soul, no matter what his condition is right now. Lord, I'm asking you to talk to his soul, Lord. And oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, he would give into that wooing, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that he would hear thy voice. And oh, Lord, that you would, oh, be compelling his heart, Lord. Oh, God, that you change him. Oh, God, that you change his circumstances, even to give him a will to live, if that be your will, Lord. And oh, God, the ability to gain strength. And to be nourished, Lord, again. And, oh, Lord, to be able to walk again. Lord, I pray for him in Jesus' name, asking you, O Lord, to move. O God, to set him free, Lord. O God, ask, O Lord, that he be loosed, O Lord, from every unclean spirit. And, O God, every ugly thought, O God, that has kept him away, Lord. O God, from seeking your face, Lord. O Lord, that all those destructions go in the name of Jesus. And I pray, O God, that you touch him even right now, Lord, by the power of the blood, Lord. O God, that he would call upon you, Lord. Oh, Lord, and I pray for Doug, too, Lord, that you lift him up, continue to heal him, Lord. Oh, God, give him faith, Lord. Talk to his soul, Lord. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. And you know every other detail, Lord, among us, oh, Lord. I pray that you be here, Lord, to meet our needs, to talk to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. With the Lord's help, this message is going to be called No Looking Back, No Looking Back. And we're going to begin by going to Luke, the 9th chapter, as we begin this message. Praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. We'll look at verse 57 here as we begin this passage. Praise the Lord. No looking back. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh my, so there our Lord Jesus said it. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we know in the natural that if you're plowing a field and you've got oxen or horses or whatever, you got to keep looking straight ahead. You can't look back and let those oxen or horses just take over. It's not going to be a straight furrow that way. It's going to go all over the place if you are to look back. But if you keep on looking forward, then you're going to have a straight furrow. It's going to come out well. It's going to come out right. And that's the way it is with our spiritual walk too. So often people start in this race, this spiritual race, and make an attempt to walk with the Lord and to listen to him initially and to commit their lives to God and, you know, to whatever degree. And yet, after a little while, give in to the pressures of life and or whatever all, the excuses that the devil prompts or whatever all comes to mind or looking at others or, oh my, just whatever all, thinking it's too hard perhaps. But that's not how you make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's not how you make it into the kingdom of God. It's a straight way, isn't it? There's a straight gate, and it's narrow. In other words, it's difficult. It's not going to be an easy road walking with the Lord. It's a lot of ups and downs and unexpected things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things, people that you really trusted, you know, kind of go the other way and come up with this or that. And, you know, think you're silly and, you know, maybe ridicule you. And, you know, it just might be all manner of things in this walk with the Lord. But yet, there's a goal in mind. There's something we're striving for. You know, it's the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're not quite there yet, but we've got it deep in our hearts. You know, we know we've got something that's beyond this world, something better than we could ever find here. It's like, oh, that city that Abraham was looking for, whose founder and maker is God, you know. Oh, God called that Abraham out of Ur of Chaldea, and he left, you know. He left. He heard the voice of God, and he obeyed the voice of God, and he got up and he left. And my, I imagine nobody appreciated that. I don't suppose anybody else understood why he was leaving. You know, he's leaving everybody else behind. And they might have, just tried their hardest to get him to stay. But he had something else in mind. He heard God. God spoke to his heart. And he knew that there was something to follow. He knew he had to obey. He knew he had to get up and go and do what God had asked him to do. And he did that. And praise the Lord, that man followed God. And while the Lord led him here and there, but you know, he never quite got there here on earth because he was looking for something beyond this earth. He was looking for a city that hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God. And wow, he didn't get here while he was yet alive, but there he is. In the bosom of God now, and praise the Lord, that city is going to come down from God out of heaven one of these days. One of these days, and there we're going to be with the saints of the ages, with our Savior forever. And praise the Lord, what a different world it will be. But here, Jesus was emphasizing the fact to keep looking forward, to never look back. If you want to be fit for the kingdom of God, there's no turning around, there's no side roads, there's no detours, there's, going the other way. It's going forward. That straight gate, that narrow way that leads to eternal life. But, even here, some of these folks had excuses, One said, "Yeah, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father," and maybe his dad was, just older, and who knows, it could have been 10 years before he died, who knows, but, he was thinking, I've just got to, stay here and be put until all that happens, but God had another plan for this man. He said, "Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead. And just go to the will of my father. Just do God's will." And all these other things will take place properly. God will take care of it. It'll all unfold the right way. And it'll be okay. But go and do the will of the Lord first. And that was the emphasis that the Lord Jesus was putting here in this scripture when he asked these individuals to follow him. And I think it's so neat. If we turn over a few pages in Luke to the 5th chapter, we see that there were those that did follow him right away, immediately. The 5th chapter of Luke tells about how Jesus, as he was there, he was by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, and also he tells us in verse 2 how he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. So Jesus enters into one of the ships. It was Simon's. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and then Jesus sat in that ship and he taught the people out of that ship. And I imagine the sound carried just wonderfully, and there was a crowd that could gather around and they could all see him. He preached right there on the water in the ship. But then when it was over, then he's speaking to Simon in verse 4 and said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon, this was puzzling to him. Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And I like that response, Here they had been fishing all night and caught not one single fish. And here's Jesus telling them, go cast it down again. Put it down and let your net down for a draught and just see what happens. And because Jesus said it, they said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And that's what they did. And the amazing thing is, it says in verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. There were so many fishes that came to them. And we could only learn to listen to the voice of God. We could only listen to submit our will, our emotions to that voice. It'll be so much better because he knows when and where and how and all those details that we could never know in ourselves. And here it was. They listened. And what happened? There were so many fish that their nets break. And it says they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. You can just see them. They're just pouring the fish, you know, into the ships. And so many of them that they could fill both ships. So that even the ships were so full that they began to sink. Oh, my. But the Lord was trying to emphasize something. He was trying to show them his ability, his power. And there it was. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He was realizing there was something great about that Lord, that Jesus Christ. And it says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught," the amount of fish that they caught in that draw of the fishes that they had taken. And then, see, the Lord was preparing them. He was letting this happen so that it would prepare them to follow him, so that they would be ready, that they would know his power, his ability, that they could see that there was something way beyond normal here with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so astonished. It was such an amazement to them. And so now it prepared them to do the Lord's will. And it says in verse 10, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And this is what they did. This is the response. See, the Lord used this miracle to prepare them. It says in verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Oh, praise the Lord. They knew that there was something beyond normal about the Lord Jesus. They maybe didn't quite understand it all, but who else could tell them to put their nets down into the water and then catch so many after spending the whole night out there and catching not even one fish? Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord used that. And they were ready. They were prepared then. And it says they forsook all. They left their boats, James and John, and Peter and James. They were ready then to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus. And they just left their stuff. They let it go. It didn't matter to them anymore. There's another call. The Lord called them now. He called them. "You're going to be fishers of man. You're not going to be fishers of the sea anymore. You're going to catch man." And I'm sure it was so much. This is the beginning. They didn't understand it all, but they knew the voice of the Creator. They knew Jesus was bidding them to do something that was higher than they could ever do of their own. It was greater than anything they could have ever dreamed. And they were willing to follow him. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then as this chapter continues, in chapter 5 of Luke, if we look down to verse 27, we see there's another man that the Lord called and makes mention of in particular here. It says in verse 27, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." And here it was. This man wasn't a fisherman, but he was a publican. He was a tax collector. And there he was. He was sitting in his place, a business, and collecting taxes. But he was prepared also. Oh, yes. And he also left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. I love to see that. That's a beautiful thing when people know the voice of God and are willing to leave the whole, their little existence, their world, their belongings even at times behind and follow Jesus. There's another example that I'd just like to go to yet in the Old Testament here, and that's in 1 Kings. If we could go there a moment. And we'll look at verse 19 in 1 Kings, and here's another example of an individual who readily followed God. Very submissive, very willing, prepared obviously. And here we are in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. We know this is a story where God has spoken to Elijah the prophet. And of course, at first he was really discouraged, wanted to just sit under a juniper tree and die, but God had plans for Elijah. His life wasn't over yet. There was more to do. So God had to nudge him a little bit. The angel had to feed him a couple times. And praise the Lord, it must have been wonderful manna, wonderful food, because he was able to eat and drink and have strength of that meat, of that food that the angels fed him for 40 days and 40 nights. And God was taking him to Horeb, the Mount of God. Oh, something was going to happen at Horeb. And so there he is. He walks those many miles to get to Horeb, the length of 40 days and 40 nights. And there he is. He's in a cave. And he's in the cave. And God's talking to him. And he's saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah?" And, you know, Elijah still isn't over his woes and his tribulations. And he says in verse 10, he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets of the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it." Well, God was going to show him greater things. God said to him in verse 11, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. There, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." But it tells us the Lord was not in the wind. "And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Oh, as the Lord speaks to our heart, it's not often with a loud thing that, you know, everybody's going to observe. You know, it's not going to be with an earthquake, most likely, or a strong wind. That's not necessarily how God's going to speak to our hearts. Not by the fire either, most likely. But there, God speaks in that still, small voice to our hearts. And praise the Lord, it's so beautiful when we've learned to listen to that voice, because that voice of God can direct our every step. It can lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us from the evil and preserve our souls and get us to that higher ground if we can only but listen to that still small voice that speaks to us. And there it was. Here's Elijah. He heard it. He heard that still small voice of God. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Again, here's the story. "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets of the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Oh, wow. Well, they tried, didn't they? Jezebel sent all her messengers, all her guys after one man, Elijah, and she couldn't find him. Praise the Lord. The Lord knew how to keep him. The Lord knew how to preserve him. And that's the way it is. He could do that for us, too. You know, he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Elijah, he could do it for us, too. And verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint thee prophet in thy room." In other words, to take his place. Excuse me a minute. And verse 17 tells us, "And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And so God had spoken to him, and now he knew. And he knew he wasn't alone, too. God reassured him and told him, there's others. There's 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And they've not kissed his image. You know, it's more than you think. It's better than you think, Elijah. I'm with you. I'm there. And I'm going to help you. Now, we're going to take care of all these details. And so it says in verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Now God had obviously prepared Elisha, because he realized that mantle was special. And he didn't hesitate. Look how he responds here. It says in verse 20, "My, we have sirens all the time in this little town." Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll just let it pass here a minute. Okay. Yeah, it's maybe up the street. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 20 says, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" You know, wow. But it had effect on him. He had understood, and he's prepared. He's ready to go. This is what he did. "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Praise the Lord. He didn't linger. He didn't, you know, just say, "I need years to prepare," or anything like that. God had obviously already worked in his heart, and there he was. He was ready, and he just, you know, okay, that team of oxen that he was working with, he slew them, boiled their flesh, gave to the people. That was the end of it. He was saying goodbye to that occupation that he had been involved with. And he was ready. He was ready to get up and go. He wasn't going to linger. He was going to get up and follow Elijah. And as we know, that God mightily used that man. Mightily. But look at, he was prepared and he was willing to follow God. Amen. Through Elijah the prophet. But I love how God had prepared them and made a way for them. And they didn't, you know, they're not procrastinating. They're not making excuses. They're, you know, not saying, "Well, when it's a convenience season, I will do that. Yeah, I'd like to follow you, Elijah, but I got to wait for a convenience season. I've got to wait till times are better. And, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I've profited in this way or that." No, he didn't say any of that. He just went back, he kissed his father and mother, he told them goodbye, and then he took those oxen and he slew them and helped allow the people to eat of the meat of it, and that was it. It was over. He's not going to be, you know, a plowman after that. He was going to follow Elijah, and he was going to be the servant of God, and the Lord was going to use him. But you see the attitude that he had, and that willingness to follow, that wonderful willingness. But we know there is a cost to following the Lord. It's just, like I said, it's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. And it says, "Few there be that find it." We know that from God's word. And there is a cost that you have to consider. If we go to Matthew, the 10th chapter, we can just dwell on that cost just a little bit. It says in verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." You were talking about this, right? "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." And so often it happens. That's right. You come and follow the Lord, and you know, people aren't going to understand what has changed you, what has made you determine that you're going to change like that. They're not going to know. But you know, the Lord, He works in our heart. He calls us. We can feel that stirring deep down inside. We hear that still small voice speaking to our soul. And we know, we know that it's going to be worth everything that we could possibly ever have on this world to follow the Lord Jesus. And then it explains in verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, oh wow, sometimes it causes conflict. Sometimes it causes hardship. And it's not easy to do this by any means. But yet, it's going to be worth it. Oh, the Lord's going to do a work through us. He's going to change us. And who knows? Who knows? Those loved ones may feel that tug in their heart too down the road. They might respond to that call too one day. But first, He's calling you. You have to make up your mind. You have to make that determination. And it explains in verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's what He expects. He expects us to follow Him, to take up that cross, that burden, whatever it is. It might not be easy. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be persecution. We don't even know what the possibilities really are. But we know it's going to be worth it. There's going to be a cost. But there's an end. We're going to follow the Lord. And He's going to use us. He's going to change us. And there's going to be something that He's going to give us that we could never find here on earth. Besides, He's going to spare us from eternal damnation. Oh, and what could a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You have to ask that question, don't you? You have to wonder. You have to think about this at times, because there is going to be an end to our life. None of us are going to live on this earth. We might be taken up when the Lord comes, if we're alive at the last trumpet. Yes, that's a possibility, but otherwise this life is going to expire. It's only short anyway. The years go by so fast that you could hardly believe it anyway. But there's an end to it. There's an end to it, and there's considerations that we have to make because, if we don't, we're going to stand before a God and have to give an account of our life. And we'll have nothing to show Him. We'll have just emptiness. We won't have His garment of righteousness on unless we've given our lives to the Lord and let Him change us. Unless we've gone down in those waters of baptism for the remission of sins so that we could be washed in His blood. Oh, praise the Lord. And clothed with that garment that He puts upon us, that His righteousness, our own righteousness. Yes, we know it's us filthy rags, but He puts His righteousness upon us. Oh, things that we could never deserve or earn or merit. But praise the Lord, because we come to Him, because we hear His voice. Oh, and hearken unto that call. He makes us worthy. We follow Him. We take up our cross. That cross is whatever He asks us to do. That cross is His will. And again, we might not like it. It might not be easy by any means, but that's what He expects of us. And He says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, what a wonderful provision the Lord has made for His people. If we turn just a few more pages in Matthew, we know the great value as He was unfolding those parables there in that 13th chapter of Matthew, in verse 44, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Oh, praise the Lord, that man was there, he was digging in this field, he was plowing or whatever, all planting perhaps, whatever all in this field. And it sounds like it even really wasn't his field. It was some land that he was allowed to use, obviously. But there he is. He's digging in that field. And wow, he found a treasure. Oh, it was a wonderful treasure. It had been hidden. And in those days, you know, they didn't have safes and all that kind of thing. A lot of times, you know, their valuables would be hidden in the ground. That's what they would do. They would dig it in the ground and you know, hide it. And you know, perhaps it wouldn't be discovered for a while. It could have been years and years ago that, you know, that treasure was hid in the field. And perhaps, you know, nobody knew where it was or knew of it, and it wasn't found. But here it is, somebody down the road, digging in the field, and oh my, there it is. Oh, something of value, something to desire, something that was needed, and oh, I found a treasure. And so what does that individual do? That man, he goes, he hides it. He goes for joy, and he's going to buy that field. He's going to, you know, it's worth, you know, everything else that he owns in order to have that treasure. And that's what eternal life is. It's that treasure. The Word of God is that treasure. The Holy Ghost is that treasure. The things that he gives us, the things that you can't see with your eyes, the things that pertain to eternal life, those are those treasures that the Lord gives us. And it's worth everything that we have to give in order to inherit it. Yes. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus went on in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, yes, he always was seeking pearls. And finally, perhaps after years and years and years of going into the sea and looking at those oysters and you know, maybe seeing little ones, all at once there was the big one. I don't know how big it was, but it was valuable. It was precious. It was beautiful. He knew it would sell for a wonderful price, a great price. So what did he do? He went and sold everything that he had in order to buy that pearl. Oh, praise the Lord. That's, again, that's the treasures that we have in God. That's what, you know, that's what eternal life is worth. You know, everything that we own in order to have that pearl of great price. Oh, praise the Lord, the Word of God, the things that he puts in our heart, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, that's worth everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and that's what it means to follow the Lord. It's such a beautiful privilege and such an honor. The Lord knows how to help us and to make it possible for us to do it. And it's going to be so precious at one point when we hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." But we know, you know, there's those different grounds. Back to Matthew 13, you know, and not to go over it real thoroughly, but just, you know, we know that Jesus was talking about those four different grounds there. And, you know, one was the farmer that planted the seed, and the seed fell by the wayside. It just went bye-bye. Didn't amount to anything. And then some of that seed went to stony places, and there wasn't much earth where the stones were. There was not much deepness. And then some of the seed went where thorns grew. And boy, they eventually all grew up around the seed and sprang up and choked out that valuable seed. And then, thank God, there was a good ground, a profitable ground. And oh, wow, that good ground, it brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It did much good. There was fruit there. There was valuable substance that the Lord made to grow. And of course, we know that Jesus was using this parable to tell about the different grounds. As we are the sowers, we're going forth in this world sowing precious seed. And we're told if we would go forth bearing precious seed, we'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. There's that promise if we go about doing the Lord's work, trying to make an impact. You know, this person, that person. We don't know. We don't know who the Lord's going to call. We don't know what they're going to do with what we give them. You know, that tract that we give out, or that good word that we are able to share at the moment, or that prayer that we're able to pray with them. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, yeah, some of it's going to fall by the wayside, going one ear out. The other is going to just be devoured. The fowls are just going to come and devour it before it even has time to rust. And some of it, yes, will fall upon the stone, the stones, and it'll grow for a little while. But because there's not enough deepness, it's all going to be consumed at one point. Because, you know, that person made a star for God, but then, you know, tribulation and persecution came about and they were offended. Oh, they didn't think they could continue. It hurt so bad. You know, they look back. And all at once, no, I couldn't continue. And that seed couldn't grow. And of course, Jesus was telling about the seed that fell among the thorns. And that's like those that serve the Lord. They come with joy. And, you know, it's so beautiful. Oh, they receive it with joy. And they're happy. They're glad. But after a little while, all at once, oh, the cares of life or the riches of this world or whatever all intervene in their life, and all at once it just chokes out the seed so it can't grow anymore. And they fall away. Oh, and I've seen that. I've seen that way too many times. But praise the Lord, there is a good seed. A good seed. And in order to be a good seed, we're going to have to bring forth fruit. We're going to have to do something for the Lord. You know, our life is going to have profit to it. We're going to have to go out there, bury this precious seed. We're going to have to do something. We just can't sit in our chair and pretend, you know, that, you know, we're doing something. Or, who knows, go hide in a house and you know, close the door and, you know, just pretend they're going to see the light of Jesus through the door, I guess. But, you know, no, there's work to be done. And for the kingdom of God's sake, there's something to do. We're sowers. We've got work to do. And praise the Lord, there's a promise. We go forth bearing that precious seed. We're going to doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. The Lord's going to work. He's going to use that seed. You know, we might pass out 100 tracts and not see anything. But one day it's going to happen. There's going to be somebody that track reaches, or that witness, or that testimony, or that song, or whatever you feel led to do for the Lord, there's going to be profit to it. But there has to be a work. There has to be an effort. You know, there has to be an attempt to serve the Lord. And there's no looking back. If we're going to serve the Lord, we have to go forward, 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 forward. In a straight line, that straight way, that straight gate, that narrow way, it's not going to be easy, you know, but we can't wander away, you know. If we get distracted, if we get off the track, who knows if we'll ever get back on again. I've seen it happen way too many times, you know. They thought they would jump the track for the moment, you know. And I don't think people plan to backslide. I don't think they usually do. I think, you know, just things creep in, you know, all at once. Yeah, the cares of life, or just, you know, what somebody else thinks, or, you know, they have some other goal or desire. It just snatches the value of serving the Lord from their lives, and all at once, or it's choked one way or the other. Or they're offended. They get hurt. You know, somebody says something and it rubs them the wrong way. And oh dear, no. You know, who would expect that, you know? And offenses do come. Oh yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And some people are going to say, you know, the most ridiculous things at times. And it's going to rub us the wrong way. I guarantee it will happen. But praise the Lord, we're serving the Lord. You know, we're not, you know, we're not going to go left. We're not going to the right. We're going to go forward, forward, forward. And we're not going to let these other things distract us, because we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow after Him. You know, if you're climbing up a mountain, it's going to take you a while to get up there to the top. You know, a lot of people might start climbing that mountain and, you know, get a quarter of the way up and decide, well, I can't go any further. You know, it's too much for me. That happens in reality with people serving the Lord. But wow, we've got to have our mind on this goal. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be fruitful. We've got to bring something to the Lord. We've got to have something to give back to that one who gave his life for us. And that wonderful hope of eternal life, you know, that inheritance that waits for us in the heavens. We've got to go forward. We've got to keep serving the Lord and not look back, not let anything distract us or hinder us or keep us from the goal. Listen, you know, a lot of things enter in, you know. Sometimes it might be education. You know, you might think, I've just got to do this, I've got to do that. And, you know, pretty soon you might be so involved with, you know, this other goal. Or perhaps it's a job that, you know, it takes you away from church. Oh, I've seen this happen. You know, and finally, I can't get there on Sundays. Can't get there on Wednesdays. Oh boy. And pretty soon, oh my, I don't have time to read. I forget about it after a while. You know, the scripture, I forget about it. Oh, praying, it just doesn't even come to me after a while. You know, it's just really something when people start backsliding. It isn't usually a planned thing at all, but it happens gradually because people let something enter into their life that's going to distract them or hinder them or keep them away or you know, some excuse to enter in. But praise the Lord, there's some looking back. But yet, there's going to be a people that have profit, that has something to show to the Lord and something to give to Him. You know, it's so many things, again, just take people away. You know, it might be just little things. You know, I've seen this happen so often. You know, somebody, they come to the Lord and, oh, it's so good. And, you know, they start dumping things and get rid of things. You know, maybe the television goes. But, you know, down the road, they start thinking about that. And I've seen it happen too many times. All at once, they get another television. Or, you know, they you know, give up this and that, you know, but, you know, those temptations come back and, you know, kind of poke you. And, well, you know, look at so-and-so. They can watch movies and, you know, it just seems like, you know, they're good. You know, they're doing okay. So, you know, it could happen. But, you know, the Lord draws us, and you know, we might not be able to give everything up at once. It's sometimes here a little and there a little. As you know, we get closer to the Lord, maybe, you know, then something else can go down the road. You know, our vision will change, our goals will change. The Lord will do a work in us, and all at once, if our focus is on heavenly things, the things of this world will start to lose their hold on our lives. And all at once, you know, this won't matter and that won't matter. And we can, you know, dump that and we can dump this. And so it is. We're following the Lord. We've got a goal. We're going to do His will. We're going to bring forth fruit. You know, there's something I want to do for Him. And there is one thing. I know it's in Galatians, the second chapter. And I just want to caution because there in Galatians, the second chapter, just one little verse I actually want to get at the moment, and that's verse 18 here in Galatians 2. Paul was writing, and he says in verse 18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." In other words, we don't want to look back. If there was something that God nudged us to get rid of in our heart, we don't want to bring it back into our lives again. It needs to be gone. We need to keep going forward. We need to build our lives on the rock and keep on going from there. We don't want to go back in any way. We've just got to keep going forward. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And I know another thing that Paul urged, you know, Paul did so much for the kingdom of God's sake. But yet he realized he was in a battle. This life is a warfare. It's not going to be easy. And there's going to be temptations that are going to come knocking at our door and try to distract us and destroy us and hinder us any way they possibly can. But there was something. Paul, he knew he had preached the gospel to so many individuals. But he knew that he had to keep going properly. He had to keep going forward. He knew that he had to be temperate in all things. If you look at verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, disciplined, temperate, not overdoing in one area or the other. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And he's talking about running a race. At that point, how people run a race to receive a crown or some kind of prize, some kind of gold, some kind of ribbon, or whatever all. But see, there's a race that we're in too. And it's a heavenly race. It's a spiritual race. And we're going to receive an incorruptible crown. There's something that we're striving for that is beyond this world. But we have to keep going. We have to, you know, be temperate, self-controlled in all our ways. It says in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air," not in vain, you know, just doing, running a circle, you know, getting nowhere at all. No, we're going forward. We've got goals, we've got aims, we've got a destination. We know what we're doing with the Lord's help. Well, we might not know entirely, we just know we're going to follow him. We're listening to his voice. He's going to talk to us. He's going to change us. He's going to lead us moment by moment. But it says here in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." A castaway is something that could be discarded or thrown out. Something of no value. A castaway. Oh, it's possible. We haven't finished our race yet, you know. We want to be that good ground. We want to have something to bring for the Lord. But we don't want to be that, like that person that just beats the air, running in a circle, doing this or doing that, and of no value, of no goal, of no substance. But we keep under our body, we bring it unto the subjection, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be profitable, so that we're doing something of value. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, there is no way that we want to be a castaway. We want to serve the Lord and serve him with all our heart so we can bring him fruit and we stand before him. We have something to give him. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. And here it talks about the days of Noah. If we look at verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all." They were just doing things that seemed normal to them, be it good or be it bad. They were just, you know, living life. And all at once, it was the day to go into the ark. Noah went into the ark. God shut the door. There was no more time. It was over. That window of opportunity was over. And we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning those people. He was talking to them. He was urging them. He was pleading with them. But no one was listening. And all at once, it was that day. God told him. He knew the voice of God. God told him to enter into that ark. And so he did. He'd done all the work. It was prepared. I believe the animals were in. The food was ready. Everything else that had to be done. It was built, of course. And there it was. It was time to enter in. God shut the door. And then that flood came and destroyed them all. That time was over. And then it was too late. And then likewise, the coming of the Lord is going to be like the days of Lot, it says in verse 28. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. In other words, they were just doing normal things. Just normal things. But they weren't regarding God. It's says, about the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, there's a preparedness within the individuals. We talked last week about how we need to watch and wait for our Lord to return. We want to be like that servant, that when he knows his Lord is there, he can open up the door immediately with no excuses, nothing to hinder. It's been taken care of. It's ready. The heart is ready. The life has been prepared. And so here it is. That day has come, and all at once it's time just to go forth. It's time to go forth. They had to grab Lot by the hands, his wife by the hands, his daughters by the hands, pull them out of that city, Sodom and Gomorrah. They had to just take them by the hands. And they didn't get too far before Lot's wife turned back. Her heart was back there. It was back there in Sodom and Gomorrah, that old wicked place, those two wicked cities that God hated, that place of sodomy and all kinds of other disgusting things going on. And yet that's where her heart was. Oh, it comes out, doesn't it, where our heart is. That's where our treasure is going to be, where our heart is. If our treasures are here on earth, if we're just building up for our own personal kingdom here on earth, well, then, you know, we won't do the spiritual things, will we? I don't think so. And here it is. There was a need to be prepared. You know, Lot didn't have time to go, get a great suitcase and carry it along with him. He didn't have time for that at all. He didn't carry a bunch of goods with him at all. I don't believe at all. He just had to get out. He had to get out. God was going to destroy it. It was going to be the end. And so it is. There was no time. No time to go back. No time to be hindered. It was, you ready or not? You know, if you're not ready now, then it's not going to happen. And they took him by the hands to take him out. You know, but that woman, his wife, she looked back. She looked back. That's where her heart was. That's where her treasures were. And oh, she didn't really want to get up and go. And God judged her, didn't he? I don't know if she even started going back and got into the midst of God's judgment, or if it just happened right then and there, you know. But all at once, God told them distinctly not to look back, to keep going forward. That was one order they were given, not to look back. But she did, and she became a pillar of salt. And we're told here, remember Lot's wife. She looked back. Her heart was back there. Oh, I pray that God will help us. Our hearts to be in heaven. Our treasures to be in heaven. Our desires to be in heaven. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to remember Lot's wife. That we would go forward, forward, forward. Oh, my. You see, she had escaped. She could have got out of there. She could have stayed safe. God knew how to keep them. But foolishly, she went back. She looked back, you know. And there was, God judged it. She was turned into that pillar of salt. We remember that. Remember that, because there's that spiritual significance there. We don't want to look back. God's called us into his marvelous light, into his kingdom. You know, we've got one foot forward. We've been going, perhaps, maybe for even years. And how sad it is when people get discouraged or whatever and let excuses come down the plank, and all at once they look back. They trade something of such great value, that, you know, that treasure in the field, or that pearl of great price for nothing. For nothing that's going to matter. For nothing, you know, that everything is going to fade away anyway in this world. It's just here for the moment. Oh, but praise the Lord. We can go forward. We could go forward. And, you know, that was a problem with Israelites. God had miraculously taken them out of Egypt. He had taken them out of Egypt. And I'm going to Numbers 14 right now for a moment here. And here they were. It was time to enter into Canaan land. And Moses had had 12 spies go to check it out. And the sad story is that most of the spies, 10 of the 12, couldn't imagine going into Canaan land. All they could see were the giants. Giants, giants, giants everywhere. Oh, it's a good land. It's a beautiful land. It's plentiful. It's wonderful. But there's giants, 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 huge giants. And we can't beat them. We're not that strong. We don't have that kind of ability. Hey, listen, there's going to be giants in our lives too, you know? But we can do all things through Christ who has strengthened us. He's not going to give us an assignment that we can't do. You know, he's going to help us defeat those giants that dare to come out and try to, you know, blaspheme God or tempt us or torment us or whatever all. God gives us that ability to defeat those giants if we only follow after him and do his will. But there they were, you know, there were two men, Caleb and Joshua, who had faith. See, faith is going to get us through. Faith is the victory that's going to help us to overcome the world. We're going to have faith. You know, and Jesus asked that question. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? Is there faith in our hearts to do what God has asked us to do? Are we going to be able to do it? Caleb had faith. He tried to steal the people. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the others, other than Joshua, said, no. We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. We can't fight giants. Well, listen, come on. I don't know. I don't know what our giants are in our life. But you know, God knows how to give us victory. He knows how to give us strength. If we'll just have faith. Faith to believe that God is with us. Hey, I can do that journey with the help of the Lord. Hey, I can do that job with the help of the Lord. I can do that Bible study. You know, I can make that telephone call. Yes, if God will help me, I can do that. That's faith. Faith to go forward. Faith to believe God. Oh, praise the Lord. Faith to know that he's with us. And that there's nothing too hard for him. Because he's the one that gives us the ability anyway. Praise the Lord. But anyway, here it is in Numbers 14. Oh, there. Beautiful Canaan land right in front of them. They could have entered right then and there. But instead, verse 1, chapter 14 of Numbers. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. Oh boy, they're looking back, aren't they? They're looking back to ugly old Egypt where they were slaves. The wilderness, that terrible old wilderness with the scorpions and the snakes and, oh, you know, lack of water and lack of trees and all of that. Oh, what to God, you know, we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And then, look, they said one to another in verse 4, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Oh, now listen, and that can happen. People who have been called out of this world thinking, it's too hard. Giants are too tall. They're too big. They're too strong. I'm sick of this. Anyway, you know, look at everybody else. You know, they're not fighting giants. You know, why should I? And there it is. You know, let us go back. You know, I'm going to go back to the world. I'm just going to be like everybody else. I just want to be normal. And this is what these people are saying. Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Tell you, Moses and Aaron, it says in verse 5, fell on their faces before all the congregation, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. See, there were a few people there, Joshua and Caleb, Moses. They had faith. They knew their God. They knew God could make grasshoppers of those individuals if that's God's will. He didn't, you know, God could strengthen them, you know, and it would be well. If they just could trust the Lord, they could just put their faith in God. But instead, the people were rebelling. Verse 10 says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Oh, they were going to stone the people that had faith. The people that were trying to help them. The people that were leading them. They were going to stone them. Oh, well, God began to judge it, didn't he? God began to judge this whole situation. And those people, we know for one thing, their carcasses ended up falling in the wilderness because God was not going to allow them to enter into Canaan land. Except for the younger generation, they would be wandering around another 40 years in that wilderness until every one of them above the age of 20 was dead. It was going to happen. Their carcasses were going to fall in the wilderness because they had murmured against God, and he was going to judge them. And he did. He did. He did. Oh, yes. There were a few that did enter in, didn't they? Praise the Lord, the younger generation went in. God had ordained it. He had willed it. And he has strengthened them. And so it is. God knows how to get us into Canaan land too. Our Canaan land, our eternal home, all the good things that are laid up for them that love the Lord. God knows how to get us there. Oh, he has prepared wonderful things for his people. Wonderful things are laid up for them that love the Lord. But there has to be going forward. We can't look back. You know, so many people have looked back. We could, you know, we don't even want to start thinking of people who could be sitting in the pew even here tonight. Had they had a heart to serve the Lord, had they not given in to the whims of the mind, the temptations of the devil, whatever all. That destroyed and disturbed them in such a way that looking back, oh, so many people have looked back. And what a sickening, sad thing it is. You know, I just, you know, so many things have happened. You know, I just thinking a little bit, you know, we used to talk a lot about how the Methodists used to be. I know that was a topic of discussion when I was younger, and perhaps we could still consider it, you know, because there was an awakening in this country in the 19th century. There were some men, and even into the 20th century, I believe, that feared the Lord and cried out to the Lord, and God began to send a revival. Yeah, some that I could include in this are people like Asa Mahan, who was a president of a university, and another man, associate, named Charles Finney. And Asa Mahan began to seek the Lord. And it was in 1836, quite a while ago now. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, at that time, it was kind of a novel thing, obviously. They didn't quite know how to interpret it, but he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and Charles Finney saw that, too. He saw what God was doing. And, you know, they began to follow the Lord, and he realized that the Holy Ghost would give them greater strength. And it was in God's Word, and you know, that wonderful fire of God began to fall on lives. And change them and burn up the dross and bring them closer to the Lord. And the Methodist movement came out of that. And many other movements came out of that. But as time went on, most of them fell by the wayside. And by the time I was growing up as a child, the Methodists were very nominal Christians. They were, you know, definitely not filled with the Holy Ghost, just, you know, like everybody else. They'd fallen back. They'd fallen by the wayside. And so it was. Also, many started out to follow the Lord and gave up after a while. That's been the way of it. But here we are admonished. Going to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, as I get ready to close here. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, verse 35, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God will have no pleasure in them that draw back. But praise the Lord, it ends by saying, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believed the saving of the soul. That's what it is. It's a straight walk. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow path. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but you keep on going. You keep on believing God. You keep on believing God for faith. You keep on doing the will of your Father. And you don't look to the left or to the right. You keep on working for His name, for His cause, doing His will. And praise the Lord, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We can give Him our hearts, our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. We can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'll rain that fire upon us if we'll just draw nigh to God. Praise the Lord. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We need to go forward. We need to serve the Lord. Because the day is coming when no man can work. That night is going to come. That night is going to fall when no man can work. Yes, now we have an open door. The Lord has given us that blessing. A time to go forward. A time when we can walk with Him and do His will. So that one day we can stand before Him. Got something to offer, Lord. I work for you, Lord. I got a little fruit here, Lord. I praise the Lord. Will you accept it? And I praise the Lord. I believe He will. I believe if our hearts are right, if we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're robed with His righteousness, I believe He'll accept our fruit. Praise the Lord, that fruit that He has given us. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, we will not cast away our confidence, that confidence in God who can help us, who can help us to fight the giants and defeat them and to go forward and to have faith. Oh, praise the Lord, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's believe to the saving of our souls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's believe God. Let's show faith. Let's go forward and do His will, regardless of what it looks like on the left and on the right and what other people are saying. Praise the Lord. We can do it with the help and strength of our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship You, Jesus, and thank You, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Give us that strength, Lord. Give us that desire, Lord. Work in our hearts, God. Change us, Lord. Help us to go forward, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help us never to put the brakes on, but keep on fighting that good fight of faith, Lord. Lay hold of eternal life. Oh, God. Help us to do Your will. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, Sam is somewhere. I'm not quite sure where at the moment. But praise the Lord. I believe we're coming. Lead us in a song. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Oh, thank You, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 77 in the chorus book, In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. The Lord. Glory to God. Dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. Brussels sprouts?
Yeah.